Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin, and we're part of the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. And I'm very excited today because we're back. Guy's making his third appearance on the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. Really good friend of mine. Always fun to have him on. He's always welcome. Please help me welcome the one and only JP Sims. JP, welcome back, man.
Thanks, man. Great to have me. Great to be back on the show, I should say. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing good. How about yourself? How's everything going?
Everything's going great, man. No complaints at all. And I'm looking forward to this interview. It's going to be a great time, as always.
Yeah, no, I was listening to your other interview with Andre Krasinski, and I was speaking with him today, and I told him I was interviewing you today, and I told him I would plug his podcast, and he was appreciative of it, so just go check it out. JP Sims was recently on the Ringside Rant with RJ Krasinski. I hope I pronounced that right. But check him out on his Ringside Rant. Check it out on Twitter, and I think it's WBLZ Sports is what it is on Twitter and Facebook. Well, check it out. Great interview, man. One thing I found out, and something we have in common, if there was one type of food left in the world to eat, you chose the same thing I would have chosen, pizza. So we could get together and have a couple of pizza parties then if there was only one type of food left to eat in the world.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be my food of choice, and I'm glad to hear that it'd be yours as well.
Yeah, no, it's another thing we have in common. See, I need to be your manager. We both agree on
pizza.
Yeah,
you do.
So I have to
come. Yeah, that's enough of a reason to me with everything else. You know, we have enough reasons as it is, and I think that just tops it right off. So.
We could start like a little pizza faction or something.
That's right, beers and Coors Light.
We could have a pizza on a pole match or something. We could
just have exactly. That would be great.
Yeah, man. Hey, I just want congratulations, by the way, on the you're going to be a father again, so I just want to say congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's super exciting. I can't wait. We're finding out the gender actually next week, so that's super exciting. Yeah, and you know, baby will be due in the end of July, so yeah, super exciting, man. Family's growing, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah, no, again, congratulations. I have one daughter, and I thought it was difficult with one, but now you're gonna have two, so you're gonna I'm sure you'll be fine, but I just once they start walking, like I said, and is Braden walking yet or not yet?
He's starting to take steps. He's taking a couple steps here and there, like I mean, if you hold his arms, obviously he'll like run. You know, I do laps with him around the house. So I just hold his arms and we just run. And but like he is taking steps on his own now. So like slowly but surely, you know, he's at the stage where he's holding it, standing up and holding on to everything, and walking and holding on to things. And then he'll take a few steps, fall down on his butt, and then get up again and do it. So it's not going to be long. Like any week now, he's gonna start taking even more. He'll be walking by the time baby number two is born.
Yeah, no, that's
way before that.
That's when the real trouble starts, but some look forward to it. I wish I could go back to that time because my daughter is 14 now, and her favorite thing is talking back to her father. So that's
yeah, exactly.
That's something for you to look forward to, and you're gonna have two kids doing it. So
it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you got a huge triple threat match coming up. It's this Saturday, right, against Kobe Christ and Julia Young for Kobe Christ Maritime's title in the UCW. So what's your mindset going into this triple threat match?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's a big match, a big opportunity, and, you know, like my mindset never changes. And, you know, it's me and Julia Young, we have a past, and you know, I beat them every time. And I always find a solution to beat Julian. And this time, though, I've got Julian Young and Kobe Christ in a triple threat. So, you know, basically, strategy is drop one of them with a simulator, drop the other one with a simulator, and then choose which one I want to pin, and then walk out as the new Maritime champion.
There you go. Like you said, I was going to ask, you've never lost a match to Julia Young, have you? I think you lost maybe in a fatal four-way that you were involved in, but I don't think you were pinned. But you're one-on-one, you've never lost to Julia Young, have you?
No, I haven't. I've got Julia Young's number. And, you know, at the fatal four-way matches that we've had, you know, he's managed to pin, you know, another opponent in the match, not myself. And every time that we've had a one-on-one match, I've come out victorious, and, you know, triple threat's not going to be any different.
Yeah, there you go. So you're gonna, you're saying you're gonna walk out with some gold in on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I think I feel like I want to, so I will. You know, bottom line is I just want to make sure Julian Young doesn't win. But yeah, I think I'm cool with it. I'll take it. It's there, and I'll take it. And when I go on to face a hurricane, you know, at least I'll be add some extra gold to have around my waist with the rest of the bling. You know, it's gotta. You can never have too much of that.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. I like how you said if since I want to, I will. But if you didn't want to, then you wouldn't win. Is that is that basically it? If you didn't want to
yeah,
win?
Yeah, pretty much, exactly. You know, like the whole thing was just to be able to get my hands on Julian. But if COVID crisis is there, you know, why not drop him with a simulator and walk out with his title too for good measure? I mean, it's just best of both worlds, really.
There you go. Actually, I'm interviewing Kobe Christ tomorrow, and I spoke with him today, and he had a few words for you, but I'll wait till we get to the end of the podcast, and I'll let you know what he had to say about J.P. Sims. Unless you want to hear what he had to say now.
I'm ready whenever you want to tell me. If you want to tell me later, you can tell me later.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. Well, when we get to the end of the pile, I'll mention it. Why do they? I'm just curious. Why are they calling it Management Night? Is it because of the War Games match, or why are they calling it Management Night?
I think that's what it is. I think it's it's further with the further in the feud between Chuck Martin and Dave Boyce. I think that's why they're calling it Management Night. They already announced the big War Games match that's coming up, and I think this is just more or less the one of the go home shows to the big April show.
All right, man, that's cool. Yeah, I know they're calling it Management Night. I wasn't following it. I see Dick Durning's back, so I guess I know we were talking about Durning, and we both predicted he would be back. That his retirement wasn't real. So is he back full time, or is he back part time, or you're not sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's back full time. Okay. You know, he was doing the IGW shows, and he's been doing the UCW shows and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure. As far as last I spoke with him, you know, he's back full time.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. He's a good talent there, Dick Durning.
He is, man. I'd like to get in the ring with him again.
Yeah, no, I actually I was going to ask about that. When you think you want to get in the ring with Durning, and I also want to ask any more matches coming up with Marcus Burke at all? Because I know you guys had a good little run a few months back for UCW.
Yeah, I mean, right now I've got. Now, I've got my mind set on other things. You know, I've got Julian Young and Kobe Christ on my mind this weekend, and I've got the hurricane in April. So, you know, I've got other things that I'm dealing with right now. But, you know, when the timing is right, you know, and I mean that when the timing's right, I will whoop his ass, whether he's got that championship title or not. There will be a third match between us because we do have some unfinished business. And we only got to have those two matches, and I want the third one because I beat him the first time. He won the second one. But I'll tell you right now, I had him beat, by the way, with Simulator. Sure. But the referee was knocked out. But yeah, the third match is definitely, I'm sure, eventually going to happen down the road.
So you're saying he's gonna experience the Simulator one more time?
Oh God, yeah, okay. Absolutely, no doubt. Everybody in UCW at some point, you know, has to will one by one feel the Simulator if they haven't already.
All right, there you go, man. There you go. I believe you, JP. I believe everyone there is gonna experience that simulator. I know you're telling the truth, and I don't doubt you for one second, man.
Hashtag simulator.
There you go, man. There you go. So from RJ's show, you mentioned that you were headed down back to Connecticut for a couple of shows. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those shows that are taking place down in the States?
Yeah, man. Buddy of mine I'd done a show in Connecticut back in 2014 and with Joseph Von Schmidt, who like as I mentioned before had one of my favorite matches with him back in 2012 on one of the UCW Summer Explosion tours when we had Bret Hart, Chavo Guerrero, and you know, Leap and Lanny and Bushwhacker Luke and some of those big stars on it, and me and Joseph Von Schmidt wrestled in a big last man standing match in front of 1,200 people. So, that was a great experience for me. And Joseph Von Schmidt and I stayed in touch over the years. And he ran a promotion down in Connecticut. And, I just stayed in touch with him and eventually booked me. And met lots of really cool people down there. And one of the guys I specifically met down there, who's a referee, him and I have stayed in touch as well. And he's going to be running some shows. And, I'm going to be... heading back down there. So it's going to be exciting to go back there and expand in the States and, you know, hopefully get some more connections when I go up there and start doing more shows in the States and get my name out there.
Sure. Now, what promotion is it in Canada? Not Canada, in Connecticut, I'm sorry.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's just give me one second here.
That's okay.
I know what it is. It's slipped my mind. I got the poster here.
Yeah. While you're looking, you also mentioned that you have a. It's a very long drive to get there as well. How many hours did you mention it would take to get there from Nova Scotia?
I think it'd be a long drive. I'd say at least, you know, 15 hours. It's got to be.
Wow, that's a long. So is that something you would go on your own, or would you take the entire family with you?
No, I'd ideally probably travel up with some, some other wrestlers to, you know, that'd be ideal. I'm pretty sure he's booking some other guys, so you know, that'd be a lot more ideal. Get a bunch of people in, you know, in one carload and save from one person driving all the way up there.
Maybe you could take Julian Young down there just so you could beat him in Connecticut also. Yeah. So you could say that you've beaten Julian Young in two countries.
Yeah, give him a simulator, throw him in the trunk, drive up to Connecticut. You know, that'll be a nice little comfy ride for him. And then when I get out, throw him in the ring, drop him with a simulator.
You'd have to do that after you cross the border, because if they find him in the trunk while you're crossing the border, you'll never make it over the border. So once you get over the border, take him out, simulate him, and put him in the trunk.
Yeah, good point. Actually, yeah, very, very, very good point.
Yeah, you don't want to get you don't want to mess with the border. I got in trouble with coming over years and years ago with a Canadian border agent. Said, you don't want to mess with it. I don't want to go into it, but it's this is years and years ago. They I bought a gift for my wife, who was then my girlfriend, and I forgot to declare it, and they pulled me in, and they want to know how much it was worth, and you know, they went through all my bags looking for stuff and looking for. They found an envelope that had coins in it, and they were like, "Well, what's in the envelope?" I'm like, "It's just coins." I'm like, "Are you sure it's just coins?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's just coins." So they open it up, and all these coins fell onto the table. So I was there for about 2 hours as they were going through all my stuff, all because I forgot to declare a bracelet for my wife. So yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, that's a. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and if they did that for a bracelet, just think what they would do if they find a simulated Julian Young in the back of your trunk. So you,
exactly. Yeah, so. I guess I'll have to wait on that one then. In that circumstance, and the promotion's actually ETW. It was
ETW,
right on the tip of my tongue, and I couldn't remember. That was my apologies, but ETW. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be a good time.
Yeah, there you go. So you're involved April 6th, IHW as well. I saw today, and they have some shows coming up. Is that the show you'll be taking on Hurricane Helms, April 6th show?
No, I'm actually going to be facing Hurricane on the UCW anniversary show.
Okay.
At the end of April. But IHW is on April 6th, and that'll be in Moncton. And I'm not sure who I'll be in the ring with, but... Yeah, it's going to be a big show, so it'll be the first show of the year, and, you know, it'll pretty much be a year to the date, you know, when I just showed up and have my debut in IHW, so I'm really looking forward to that. So, you know, April's going to be a really good month, and UCW will be running a few shows as well, so it's like, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah, they're calling it the season premiere. Is there going to be a TV show? Is that why they're calling it the season premiere of IHW, or is that just they just have seasons? For the promotion.
I know they did seasons like when they had TV. So I'm not sure what they're doing, but you know, that's what it sounds like to me, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hope it's TV. I would love to see the match if they could get it. Like if they get it on Fight TV or something, that would be tremendous. You know, I know there's a lot of talent.
Oh, that would
there.
Be great.
Yeah, that would be. Awesome.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. Big crowds, you know, solid. Roster and you know, consistency, and that's what you need, you know, especially to run TV. You can't run two or three shows a year and didn't do TV, you know, and they run multiple shows, and that's where you get your TV tapings, and that would be awesome. And either way, I'm sure it'll come sooner or later if it hasn't already.
Yeah, no, I keep my fingers crossed for that. That'd be awesome. Now back to Hurricane Helms. I know it's at the end of April, and you have business coming up this weekend, and in Connecticut, and you have. Have you started preparing for Hurricane Helms? I think you already met him once a few years back, but are you starting to prepare for Hurricane Helms? Because I know it'll be a big match. Just wondering if you're thinking about that match and you started preparing for it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a huge opportunity, and you know, even though it's in April, I'm definitely training now. You know, I'm training my butt off as always, and you know, I'm really looking forward to that match. And I did meet Hurricane one time back in 2012 on a UCW tour, a summer tour, and you know, it was a great opportunity. So this time around, being able to step in a ring with him, you know, even bigger opportunity. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've been in the ring with you know, one of the, you know, former WWE or TNA or ROH talents. So, you know, I'm looking forward to stepping up to that game level again and, you know, showing them what I can do and hopefully making another connection.
Yeah, actually, I want to. I know you had this match before, but I don't think we've ever spoke about it on any of the podcasts. But I want to. I know RJ had asked you about it. You had a match with Marty Jannetty, one half of the Rockers. How did that match go? And how did you feel going into that match, knowing that, you know, Shawn Michaels is your idol, and here you are going up against Marty Jannetty, who, you know, was Shawn Michaels' partner for many, many years. So how did you feel going into that match? And did you speak to him about Shawn Michaels at all when after the match or before the match?
He did actually. He told us a lot. He told us a lot of stories about Shawn Michaels and, you know, the Rocker days and stuff like that. Like, Marty was a great guy. It was a lot of fun to be around, and it was a week tour with him, so it was a lot of fun that I got to wrestle him one night, but also got to spend, you know, 5-6 days on the road with them, and you know, we got to even party a couple nights and go to the bar, so that was a lot of fun too. And you know, Marty was a great guy, and you know, I was, as far as being in the ring with them, it was super exciting. It still stands out as, you know, one of the highlights of my career, because again, like you said, Shawn Michaels was my idol, and the first thing that I said when you know, Chuck told me, you know, the owner of UCW told me I'd be getting in the ring with Marty Jannetty, like, you know, it was, oh my god, like I'm getting in the ring with my idol's tag team partner, you know, mm-hmm. from the late 80s and early 90s. Like, how amazing is that? Like, that's the next best thing from being in a ring with Shawn Michaels. And I got in the ring with him in 2010, so it was the same year Shawn Michaels retired. And even just a year earlier, he'd fought The Miz on SmackDown. So it was cool, because Marty could still go. Like, Marty could go. Like, we had a solid 15-minute match. You know, he even bumped on your side of the ring. Like, he took a turnbuckle bump and hit the floor, and we didn't have no mats. You know, it was a solid, you know, 600 people probably there in Barrington Passage, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a copy of it, and I'll send it to you. It was a lot of fun, man. It was, it was great. I remember he asked me, would you like to take the rocker dropper or the super kick? And I said, man, hit me with the super kick. You know, like, I love the rocker dropper, but, you know, I got to take the super kick, even just, you know, another thing from Shawn Michaels, right? So I threw a line at him. He ducked, hit me with the super kick, 1, 2, 3. It was, it was a lot of fun, man. Absolute blast to be in the ring with him, especially when I was 22 years old, just, you know, having him in my second year in the business. So, you know, big opportunity.
Yeah, no, Marty Jannetty was awesome. He was a tremendous talent. He could go out. I know a lot of people. They say, oh, you know, whenever tag team breaks up, they'll say, oh, you'll be the Shawn Michaels, you'll be the Marty Jannetty. I would love to be the Marty Jannetty. The guy is super talented, man. I know Shawn Michaels, he rose to the top in the WWE, but Marty Jannetty was extremely talented. Even as a singles wrestler, he had the short feud with Shawn Michaels. I don't know if you remember over the.
Oh, yeah.
Those were some great matches. Yeah, Marty Jannetty is extremely talented.
He is, and I was actually listening to a podcast, Something to Wrestle With podcast, that was actually on the Rockers and Marty Jannetty. And it's funny, Bruce Pritchard said the exact same thing that, you know, you said, and I think too. He said, you know, he's extremely talented, and he said Marty Jannetty is one of the most underrated workers in the history of the business, not only just the WWF. Like, Marty Jannetty was a fantastic worker, and that's why, like, you know, I'm sure anybody in WWE, like any of the executives and stuff like that, would have said, like, if Marty Jannetty could have stayed clean through the years, you know, imagine the level he could have gotten to. He was, I mean, he's even done, had a great career as it was, but imagine if he'd have been clean, you know, mm-hmm. that, imagine what he could have done, you know. So it was, you know, Marty, again, like you said, very talented, and the Rockers were one of the best tag teams of all time by far, and, you know, to get in a ring with somebody like him, you know, that was huge. Like, just being on the road with him for a week was awesome enough, and then to get in a ring with him in front of a big, solid crowd, and, you know, they were a hot crowd that night. I remember it was awesome, and it was one of the only times I'd done heel at that point, because, again, like I said, I was only my second year in the business. This is well before, the toilet paper and all that stuff in Wrestle Center, you know, back in, like, 2014. This was back, you know, in 2010. I'd always been, like, a babyface, minus, you know, the odd time I'd be a heel if I was in, you know, a certain town, if I was working, you know, like, a star, like I said. You know, I'd worked Robbie McAllister, one half of the Highlanders, former WWE tag team. I'd done the heel as well, but that was really the only time, so it was cool to be able to go out there and be a heel. And, you know, I remember even then I had a little bit of my, you know, the swag that I still rock now. You know, I remember I wore the sunglasses and I wore all that stuff, and it was cool being able to be a heel and kind of just feel it out a little bit, like, well before what I'm doing now. So, you know, that was, it was great. It was really cool being in the ring, and then when his music hit, that Rockers music, and he came jogging out, like, it, you know, brought me back to, you know, watching WrestleMania 6 and all those classics. So, sure. Yeah, it was a really cool moment, man. Like, really cool.
Oh, he came out to the Rockers music? Well,
he did.
Oh,
yep,
you must have been marking out in the ring. You're like, holy crap, he's coming out. But then thinking, oh, my God, I'm his opponent. I'm not a fan. I'm his opponent tonight.
Yeah, exactly, man. I had goosebumps, and it's, like, crazy to think just, you know, a couple years earlier, I was just in high school. I would never have thought that I would have been in a ring with somebody like him. So, you know, it's like, yeah, just even thinking about it, you know, gives me goosebumps. It was a really cool, like, it was like, holy shit, like, this is really happening. Like, this is a big moment for me, and I was really excited to be able to get in the ring with somebody like that and prove what I could do. And he'd already been there for a couple nights, so I'd seen, like, his matches and been able to say, like, holy shit, like, this guy still goes. Like, I want to get in the ring with him. I want to show him what I can do. And, sure. You know, he was, you know, he offered me great words afterwards, and, you know, told me the match was great. He really enjoyed it, and, you know, even when I posted it online, you know, he commented under it and said he'd enjoyed the match. So that was a great compliment to me for him to have said that, you know, the match was good, and that, like, he really enjoyed it, and that I was a good worker, and, like, that was, you know, that was a huge compliment.
So you said you partied with Marty Jannetty. Do you have a funny Marty Jannetty story that you could share, or was just you guys are just drinking beer and just talking?
Yeah, I do have a funny story. It's a weird story, but it's funny. Like, we were in Truro, and we were going to a bar, and, you know, we were all drinking. He was drinking, like, rum out of the bottle. You know, we were just pounding back shots. And I don't remember whose it was, but he seen a bottle of Axe, and somehow he didn't know it was Axe. And if he did, he played it off like he didn't. And he took the Axe, and he sprayed it in his mouth, like Axe body spray. And I was like, what the hell is this guy doing, you know? And then he starts choking and coughing and saying, what's this? And so what did you think it was? You know, what did you think it was? Like, there's no way you could have thought that was going to be anything good, you know? Like, why would you spray something? Like, if it looks like something that you have to turn the handle to turn it around, it's obviously not something that you're supposed to drink. So, but anyway, he did, and he was choking for about 5 minutes, and then he just proceeded to continue drinking his rum, and then, you know, off we went to the bar, and, you know, we were all pretty hammered. I know I was, and he was super hammered. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun partying with him, man. Like, being able to go to a bar with, you know, him and Chuck and all the guys, like, all the boys, we were all there. And, you know, we had a night to chill, so we said, why not go out and have a blast? And that was one of my first times going out and, you know, getting to drink with guys like him and stuff like that. So that was, I'd done it the year earlier, but not with Marty Jannetty. But actually, I forgot that a year earlier I'd gone to the bar, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan had come by, and, like, that was pretty cool. Like, he'd come by, had a couple of drinks, didn't stick around, but, you know, it was still cool being able to have a drink with him. And Luke had come out to a bar at times the year earlier than that and stuff. But, you know, but to actually get down and party, you know, with Marty and them guys, that was a lot of fun. And the bar in Truro was really fun. And I remember it was hopping that night, and it was open until 3:30 or 4, and, you know, we closed the bar out and went back to the hotel and continued partying. And
wow.
I don't really remember the rest of that. Yeah, it was a good night, man. It was definitely a fun tour. That was one of my best ones I've ever been on, that's for sure. I just remember that one very vividly. I'd wrestled Robbie McAllister twice, wrestled Marty Jannetty, Wrestled Lumberjack Johnson, and that was a fun match. That was in Halifax Forum, and I think there was 900,000 people there. That was the first time I'd wrestled in front of that many people. So that I remember that tour very well.
Wow, so you guys were drinking. He was drinking rum. He finds a can of Axe body spray, sprays into his mouth, and then you guys went to the bar. This all happened before the bar, and then you guys went to the bar.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah. He hadn't even reached his peak of drinking at that point. We were just getting ready at that point.
Oh, like, man.
It was. That was just like, I'll never forget that. That was just like a what. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is, like, only in the wrestling business would you see something stupid like that go on in a funny way, right? Like, it was like, all right, like, I never thought I'd see anybody do that. I've never seen anybody make that mistake before, so I guess there's first time for everything.
Okay. Yeah, he must have really been just smoked out on rum to spray Axe into his mouth. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
So, speaking of, Mark Jannetty, he's tag team partner, as everybody knows, with Shawn Michaels. You have the Rock and Roll Express, a terrific tag team. Have you ever thought that is there anybody that you ever thought of that might be a great tag team partner for J.P. Sims?
I've thought about being in, like, if I was in the WWE, being in a tag team kind of thing would be pretty cool. But, like, as far as, like, where I'm at right now, I've never really thought about being in a tag team match. But, like, if I was in, like, say, like, WWE, I think there'd be a couple guys in there that I would mesh well with as a tag team. But I've always been a singles performer, and, even though I've done tag team matches before, I definitely prefer singles matches. But okay. Tag team matches are fun, too. But I would do whatever, obviously, like, being in the WWE or anything like that, but as far as what I'm doing now on the indie scene, I much prefer singles matches or, triple threats or fatal four ways, stuff like that, where I can really showcase what I can do. Not that you can't in a tag team. Tag team matches are great, but I'm just more of a singles wrestler.
Sure. Forgive me here, but I know he's a major rival of yours, but I got this mindset of you and Julian Young being a tag team. I don't know why. I you guys work so well together in the ring as opponents. I think you guys will work well together as a tag team. So if I was to put a tag team together, I'd put you together with Julian Young.
That's interesting. We do have great. I do think that we have great chemistry in the ring, and I just think in terms of everything else, we're just such complete opposites. And maybe that could be, maybe that can be sometimes what works with tag teams. I just don't think I could ever stoop to that level, man. I gotta stick to what I'm doing, man. I'd have to look and evaluate where my career was going if I had to, tag team with him. So, we'll stick to what I'm doing for now.
Sure.
And we'll get you as my manager. I'd do a tag team match with you, huh? You and me down the road sometime in a tag team match against another wrestler and a manager, we could.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Thing is, I don't want to take any bumps. I just want to stay on the outside and just watch. I don't want to take any bumps. I don't want to be involved in an actual match. So I don't think I could run the ropes either. I'd probably collapse from exhaustion, or I'd probably fall through the ropes through the outside or something. So I don't I wouldn't want that. I'll just walk you down the aisle, insult the fans, and stay at ringside and watch you simulate someone, and then we could just go back. And then maybe we could find Marty Jannetty, get a couple of bottles of Axe spray, and we could all spray it into each other's mouths.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. And make sure you got rum and Axe.
Okay, yeah, no, I got to have the rum and the Jack Daniels.
Oh yeah,
I'm a Jack Daniels fan, so I'll bring the Jack.
So am I. I like Jack Daniels. I also like the Kraken. Have you ever had the Kraken?
I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I Jack and Coke or beer. That's basically all I'll drink.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have a beer, but I'm not like a big beer drinker. Like I'll have a beer or two.
Okay.
But I don't generally sit and drink too many beer. I'm more of a rum guy. Like I like Crown, and like I like Jack Daniels. I do like that, even though I had a bad experience with it years ago. But I can drink that now.
Okay.
I prefer vodka waters. Like, I like vodka waters, and I'll drink Crown Royal with water. It's just a couple ice cubes in it. Like, that's more or less my kind of drink. I find beer is heavy after a couple. Like, the first few are good.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I have to mix it. I can't do it with the water. I have to mix it with Coke because I get intoxicated very quickly. So I have to just put a little bit in the Coke and drink it that way. And I drink too much and I'll be all over the floor and I'll be spraying stuff in my mouth as well if I.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way now. Being a dad and you don't be so busy. Like, for my version of drinking is just having a couple drinks, and like you said, I'm feeling good, and I like that. I prefer that anyway. It's nice, just being able to have a couple drinks, and I could still hang. I could still handle it, Like, if I'm like, I could still pound back drinks, but I don't. But I prefer not to. I prefer to just have a couple drinks, feel good. That's usually good for me, Like, if I'm on the road and stuff like that, after the shows and stuff like that, we're having a couple drinks. I'll have a couple drinks, and that's like my time to have few and have some fun and stuff like that. But I'm the same way. I don't like to have too many. 6 a.m. comes early, and getting up every morning at 6 a.m. and it's not one bit worth it to drink and don't feel like crap in the morning. Not that I get hungover, but 6 a.m. just comes early and it's not worth the risk of it. So I'll have a couple drinks at most on my dime off here and there. And other than that, man, living that dad life and staying busy.
There you go. I'm the same way, man. I'm the same way. See, and when I was a lot younger, like 25, 30 years ago, I was, even 35, wow, even 30 years, no, not 35 years ago. It was about 25 years ago. I wasn't drinking when I was 11. When I was 25 years ago, like, I'd go with my friends and I would not a care in the world and we'd just get drunk. There were many times where my mom would, I would come home and I would open the door and I would just pass out as I opened the door, and she would find me at the front door with the door open, and I was half in the house, half out the house. So that's those were my big drinking days. But again, when you get older, you have a family, you have to slow down.
Absolutely, man, and I'm the same way. I just turned 30, and it's not that I don't still enjoy having fun, because I do, and when I have fun, I like to have fun, and I still love being young, I'm a dad, don't get, 100%, I love being a dad, but I still like to have fun, too, once in a while when the time is right. But like you said, when you're, 20, 25 years old, no care in the world, I drank my face off when I was 25 years old, I remember, I never drank when I was, 19, I got drunk for the first time when I was, 19 and a half. I didn't drink and stuff like that when I was younger, so I still remember the first time my brother took me downtown, him and his buddy and stuff like that, and I was, 19 and a half, and I really didn't even start having drinks until I went to Alberta and trained in Calgary with Lance Storm. I lived out there for 3 months, and I'd worked at Boston Pizza, and, I'd met a good crew of friends, and we started, going to the bars and stuff like that a little more, and after working, when you're working at a bar or at a sorry restaurant like Boston Pizza, you work late hours and then you go and you have a couple drinks afterwards, and that was a lot of fun. And it wasn't really until after that that I started going out and partying, and then eventually I'd every weekend, every Friday, Saturday, and then every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'd be out partying, and it was a great time. And being on the road, same thing, partying on the road. I got so many fun times on the road getting drunk and with the guys after a fun show, and stuff like that. Those are the fun times, but now it's a couple drinks, and I'm good on the road, as opposed to, before when I'd, pound back a crap ton of liquor, as opposed to now where it's just, now I'll drink my liquor, and then I'll drink some water before I go to bed, and then I know I'll be okay in the morning, and I'm good.
I'm in the same boat. But anyway, let's get back to professional wrestling.
Let's get back to wrestling.
Let's get back to wrestling. So you're you're gonna take part in a new promotion, Outlaw Pro Wrestling. Take it on Shane Stevens. How did you get involved with that promotion and match against Shane Stevens? That's gonna be a tremendous match. Talk to us about Outlaw Pro Wrestling for a bit.
I'd worked New Breed's last show, and I'd been talking with Shane. Well, really, I've been working with Shane for years now, you know, like since, you know, since I started, you know, 10 years ago, I've been working shows with Shane. You know, I'd done the New Breed show recently with all those guys, and, you know, Shane stayed in touch and said he'd be running a show, and he reached out and mentioned that they'd be doing a show in Stewiacke, and, you know, I told him I'd love to be a part of that, and, yeah, I'm excited to get in the ring with him again. I've had great matches with Shane. I don't think I've ever had a bad one with him, and he's a lot of fun to wrestle with, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've wrestled up in Stewiacke. It's been a long time since I've done a show up there, and, you know, it'll be cool to wrestle for a different promotion. You know, it's new, I'm pretty sure. I've never heard of it before this. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, the more shows that are coming, the better. I'm looking forward to taking them all.
And Birch is walking you down the aisle for that match, isn't he?
I believe so. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. And that's going to be good. Like, I love having Birch in my corner,
I
think we work really well together. So, you know, I think that would be a, you know, great addition to the show to have him out there with me. And, you know, like I said, I think we work well together. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I saw the advertisement for today. It says that, you know, he'll be walking you down the aisle. I think that he called you. I think you and Birch are called the Winner's Circle, I believe, on the poster. And the international super agent. I got to get him on the show. I know he does a lot of stuff. I got to get him on the podcast one time. I know he does. He manages quite a few people. I believe. I think he is out in the States as well. Should be a good show. Hopefully that match with Stevens will show up on YouTube.
I'm sure someone will get a copy of it. You know, I'll get a copy of it. If not, you know, I'll have somebody tape a copy of it, even if just from my phone. I definitely want to make sure I get that match taped, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
Sure, and I know on the post it said Nick Diggs is making his return. So Nick Diggs is on the Wrestle Center fame is going to be on the show as well. So that should be interesting. The triumphant return of Nick Diggs on for Outlaw Pro Wrestling. Can I ask you? Is it okay to ask you a Wrestle Center question?
Yeah, man, sure.
I was just thinking about questions today, and I was thinking I was thinking if Jason decides to bring back Wrestle Center and he gives you a call and says, I'm starting Wrestle Center up again, and I want you to come back and work the show, would you go back and work the show for Jason and Wrestle Center?
Nah, man. Okay. No, not a chance. I'm still saying the same thing that I told you when you'd interviewed me when I'd left Wrestle Center last year, and I'm saying the same thing now. No.
Okay, yeah, and I was just wondering, I was just like, thinking of different questions to ask you. I was like, I'm going to throw this question at him to see how he answers. But I kind of figured that was going to be your answer, but I just thought I'd throw that one at you.
My days are done with that company, and like I always say, they were fun while they lasted, but times moved on, and I'm over it. So.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever be back. I think they would have been back already. I think they're done. They had the show on Fight Network, which was cool, but I will say that, you know, Smash Wrestling is on the Fight Network right now, and my opinion, a much, much better show than the Wrestle Center. Except, of course, when you were on, then of course Wrestle Center was better. So I don't want to get you upset there. When you were on the Wrestle Center shows on the Fight Network, it was nothing could beat that. But the rest of it, the Smash Wrestling is a better. Do you miss being on the Fight Network? Do you miss? I know you were on the Fight Network quite a bit when they had the Wrestle Center on. Do you kind of miss like? I used to tune into the Fight Network, and I used to see myself. But do you miss that time?
Of course I do. Yeah, okay. Man. I mean, that was great. You know, that was, you know, like I said, that was a great part. That was a great addition to Wrestle Center. I thought that was great. You know, and that was something that was really helpful to everybody's career. And being able to be on the Fight Network was a great opportunity. And you know, my match with AJ Styles, Aaron, on the Fight Network, that's huge. You know, and hitting Samoa Joe in the face with the title, huge. You know, my matches with Daniels, it's like Titus, etc. A lot, like some of my best matches that I've had were on the Fight Network. So, you know, which means that they were showcased. Like it was, you know, people you know, people that, not just people around Nova Scotia seeing that match, but like people all over the world were able to tune in and watch that. So that was, it was really cool.
Yeah, no, it was great stuff. Great stuff. You know, to see you on the Fight Network, you know, tuning in, and wow, that's my buddy JP Sims is on TV, and that's like that was cool stuff. But do you think UCW or RHW could get to that level where they could get a show on the Fight Network or even Fight TV or Powerbomb TV or something like that? I think I might have asked you this question on the last podcast, but I'll throw it at you again.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I think both of them have the potential. I know both of them can. Yes, like they both absolutely could. And yeah, I think that would just be a matter of whatever steps you take to get there. You know, I definitely think that they could. You know, they both, as I've said before, draw great houses, solid talent, solid matches from top to bottom, consistency, and that's what you need. And that they both deliver those things, and they both have legitimacy to their names and brand, and I think that would be great. You know, there wouldn't only be three or four shows a year, you know, broken into 10 episodes. They would be able to give, you know, multiple shows, and that's what you need. And I think so most certainly.
Yeah, I hope so. Like we said earlier, there's a lot of talent in Atlantic Canada, and it'd be great to see them on like a more national level, like with, again, Fight Network or Fight TV or something like that. Now I want to ask you, I know you still have contact with Kurt Angle. I know he has your tape, and he's been showing it to WWE officials. Excuse me. And I know there was another, I don't know if you want me to say who it was, but another top official in a major, sort of a major promotion, contacted you as well. I don't know if you want me to mention any names or not, but I think you know who I'm talking.
No, go ahead.
It's okay. I can say it. It's okay. All right, Dave Lagana, NWA. You had some contact with him as well. With Kurt Angle and Lagana from NWA contacting you, do you feel that something big is going to happen for you in 2018? Because it seems like, you know, Angle, Lagana, Rikishi mentioned to you in the match that, you know, you belong in the Performance Center. Do you think something, especially with Impact, you know, now in Canada, their headquarters in Canada, do you think something big is about to happen for JP Sims?
I do, you know, and doesn't matter how much time goes by, I'm going to stick to my, you know, I'm going to continue to say yes until it happens, because I know it will happen. And, you know, I really do. I feel like everything has fallen into place really well. You know, last year was a really good year, and, you know, I think this year is going to be even better. And just staying in touch with guys like Kurt Angle, you know, and even just having, you know, a few words back and forth with Dave Lagana, I think it's still a huge opportunity just talking to him, and I think that means something. And, you know, like I said, with TNA being in Canada and having this match with the Hurricane, I think it's an opportunity for me to show that, you know, I'm one of the top talents in Canada and that I can deliver, and that it's time for me to get my shot. You know, no matter which promotion it's in, I definitely think it's going to happen, you know, and staying in touch with Kurt Angle. Like I said, what can go wrong there? Only good can come out of that, you know, and staying in touch with him and chatting with him and staying in touch has been amazing, you know. And like I've said before, he's been a great help to me, and he's, you know, given me good advice and been a great motivator for me. And you know, I have a lot of respect for Kurt Angle, and I think that, you know, I think that it speaks volumes that he stayed in touch with me this long. And I also think that he wouldn't just stay in touch with me, you know, if he didn't see something in me. And I think that that's a huge motivator for me to show, hey man, I'm going to make use of this talent. You know, like I said, I just turned 30 years old, I'm still young. And it's time to go for it. You know, it's now or never, and I'm ready to take that brass ring, as they call it.
There you go, man. Yeah, no, I like I said, can I ask a favor? Can you make a promise to me? Can you call it Impact Wrestling from now on? It hasn't been TNA for like 2 years. I know a lot of people.
I'm sorry, yeah.
A lot of people still call it TNA. I know it's TNA, but it hasn't been called TNA about a year and a half, actually. It's been Impact Wrestling. And, you know, I know
Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, there you go. go. You know, I'm a big fan. I love Impact Wrestling. I know they're going through a lot of changes right now, but I've been a fan. I got the podcast, and people still come on, and they'll still call it TNA, but it's Impact Wrestling. It's Impact Wrestling.
I'm sorry, man. I just had it, man. I was so used to calling it TNA for so long. So
I know,
just like when WWE switching from WWF, you know, you just get used to one.
Yeah, so. It took me a while. Yeah, and I guess that's true, because it took me a while to actually call it WWE. I was calling it WWF. I'm just kidding with you, man. If you want to call it TNA, that's fine.
That's funny. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, because I think you've called it TNA 3 or 4 times already, and the fourth time I'm like, I got to say something. It's not TNA. It's Impact Wrestling. So I just
that's awesome. Thanks, man.
It's okay, man. But again, that's great. So any do you know if Kurt Angle actually showed the tape to any of the officials yet, or that's still in progress? Or
well, when I talked to him and I sent it to him, he said he was going to pass it off to Mark Carano of Talent Relations. And he told me, just be patient. They might not get in touch with you for a long time. You know, and he said, I can't even guarantee a job, but I can guarantee you're going to get looked at. But I think you have a chance. You know, like you said before, that. Huge, you know, couldn't have heard better words. You know, that was an amazing compliment for him to say he thinks I have a chance. So, you know, he, as far as I know, he'd pass it off to, you know, Mark Carano, and, you know, just fingers crossed that I get that call sooner or later.
Yeah, speaking of the WWE, are you looking forward to the Royal Rumble? I think it's this Sunday.
I am, yeah. The Rumble is one of my favorite pay-per-views, and it's going to be a great one, and, you know, having the first Women's Rumble is going to be exciting, and I think this year, the Men's Rumble as well is going to be good. I think the last couple of years haven't really delivered, and I think this year is going to be a good one. I'm very excited for this one, more excited than I've been in a while. I think the last, you know, 3 or 4 just haven't really been that good, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I know EC3 and Bobby Lashley, they're no longer with Impact Wrestling, or as you call it, TNA.
Yeah, we're going to keep going back to that.
Yeah, I know. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, but there's rumors that one or both of them are gonna make a surprise appearance, their surprise entrance at the Royal Rumble. Do you think that could happen? Do you think we might see EC3 or Bobby Lashley at the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, man, I do, and I would love to see Bobby Lashley back. You know, it's crazy to think that he's been gone for a decade from the WWE, you know, and I like Lashley, and Lashley had a great career in Impact Wrestling, and I think it'd be a great opportunity for him to come back in the Rumble, and EC3 as well, because I've heard that, you know, apparently he was seen at the Performance Center, and, you know, I think EC3 is very talented too, so
yeah.
Like I wouldn't doubt either of them coming in, because they always leave room for those big spots, and I think that'd be a perfect opportunity to bring both guys in. And, you know, hopefully Lashley would come in, you know, and have a full-time run. I know he spoke about it in the past about, you know, wanting to come back and do a run. And like I said, I'd love to see Lashley back. I was a Lashley fan back in the day.
No, the rumor is to have him get into an immediate feud with Brock Lesnar. So that's the rumor. Lashley and Lesnar.
That would be good. That would be good, because that's the match that people
tremendous.
Talked about for a while. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's crazy to think, you know, they both... When, back in when Lesnar was in the WWE and then Lesnar left and Lashley came in, people were talking about that match, you know, being a match that would be good. And then, you know, down the road, Brock Lesnar gets into the UFC, you know, becomes champion. Bobby Lashley gets into MMA, you know, and has a career in Bellator. So it's like, that's a match that, you know, that's a match you want to see. And, you know, the time's now to have it. If they're going to do it, I think that would be, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think if anything, we'll see Lashley in the Royal Rumble, and I believe EC3 will probably show up at NXT. They're both going to be back in the WWE.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's my prediction of what would happen. Because I know Lashley, I know EC3 last time he was Derek Bateman in the WWE.
Yes.
It didn't really quite pan out. So I think he's going to probably go back to
NXT. You're right. I never thought about that. NXT would be ideal for him. Build him up in NXT and then bring him to the main roster kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going to. And Laurel Van Ness also is, she's departed from Impact, and she's Zack Ryder's girlfriend. So there's rumors that she's going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble. So a lot of potential former Impact stars showing up at the Royal Rumble this week. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good.
It's going to be good.
I think Brock Lesnar is taking on Kane and Braun Strowman, right? In a triple threat. Yeah. So that. You think Lesnar's going to retain or he's going to drop the title?
I think Lesnar will retain. I feel like Lesnar will keep the title until WrestleMania. But then again, it's a triple threat match, so, you know, in that case, they could have the title come off of him without him getting pinned. So, you know, it's hard to say. But I think for the most part, Lesnar will carry the belt into WrestleMania.
Most likely against Bobby Lashley, probably. He would have to win the Royal Rumble, of course, to get there.
Yeah.
But I could see Roman Lashley Reigns coming in and winning the Royal Rumble. Who do you think would win the Royal? Who's going to win the Royal Rumble? Do you have a prediction or?
It's hard to say who's going to win. There's a good chance that they're going to do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. But then again, once you mentioned, they could do Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. But Roman Reigns wouldn't necessarily have to win the Rumble if he fought Brock Lesnar. I think a SmackDown superstar, I think, will take the Rumble. And, you know, maybe Shinsuke Nakamura, maybe somebody like that. Like, I think that would be cool to have AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Like, that would be a great epic.
Yeah, that would be terrific, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, if they do the Elimination Chamber or whatever, you know, whoever, Bobby Lashley or Roman Reigns, win that one and go on to WrestleMania. You know, personally, if Bobby Lashley did come into WWE, I'd rather see that than, you know, a rematch with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. They did have a great match at 31. I thought it was better than people expected it to be.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a match I want to see again at WrestleMania. But, you know, I'm not the booker. That's not me saying anything in a negative way. But I'd much rather see Bobby Lashley if they brought him in, you know, especially before, you know, Brock Lesnar winds up, if he is, you know, winding up the career soon.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm sure sooner or later we're going to see Lashley against Lesnar, whether it's at WrestleMania or not. But
whether it's for the title or not, I think it's a match that could have at SummerSlam, if not WrestleMania. So,
all right. There's a picture of you on Facebook holding up a sign that says Maritime Legend. Do you consider yourself a Maritime Legend?
That was a sign that, a buddy of mine, actually, you know, big supporter of mine, he brings that sign to the shows, and it just kind of became a thing that I started acknowledging, I've been doing this for, you know, 10 years, and I've had some big matches around here, and I've been in the ring with some very big stars, and I've had some, you know, classic matches, so... Yeah, I think I can call myself a Maritime Legend,
okay.
And people can hate on that if they want to. I think it's okay.
No,
yeah,
it's okay.
Of course I am. Yes.
Okay, there you go. I agree. You're a Maritime Legend. Now, so you mentioned that. Now, let's Kobe Christ, as I mentioned earlier, Kobe Christ, I was speaking with him earlier. He's scheduled to be on tomorrow. I've been trying to get him for some time, and I said I'm speaking with you today. Do you have anything you want to say about JP Sims prior to the match? And I was expecting heat and stuff. I was expecting him to go into Kobe Christ promo mode, but I think after I say this, it's going to be hard to simulate him, man. Kobe Christ actually says he respects you and all you have done for maritime wrestling. So that's all he had to say, coming from Kobe Christ. You still with me? All right, so I just a little technical difficulties there, but anyway, I was telling you about Kobe Christ. I was speaking with him a little earlier, and as I mentioned, he had something to say leading up to your match, and I thought we're going to get a little bit of heat from him, but he said something, and it's going to be a little difficult for you to simulate him after you hear what he had to say. He said that he respects you and all that you have done for maritime wrestling, and that's all he had to say about you. So it's going to be a little difficult to simulate him, or do you not care about that, and you're going to simulate him anyway?
Yeah, no, you know what, honestly, like, I appreciate that, you know, and that's... Yeah, it's kind, very kind coming from him, and, you know, it's nice to see, that there's some people that aren't afraid to admit that, you know, I deliver when I'm out there, and that I've had matches that I'm proud of, you know, and I've had some classic matches. But with that being said, yes, I will still simulate him and take his belt. But with that being said, I respect Kofi Christ. But that does not mean that I will not simulate him, pin him, and take his belt.
Okay, so when I speak with him tomorrow, I'm just going to tell him that you respect him also, but he's still getting simulated, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you know, he's a talented guy, you know, and like I said, I respect him in the ring, and I'm looking forward to the match. But at the end of the day, when that bell rings, doesn't matter who's in front of me, I'm going to go out there, do my thing, hit that simulator, 1, 2, 3, and like I said, I'll choose which opponent I want to pin, and that Maritime title's coming home with me.
All right, there you go, man. There you go. So you and Kofi are both going to be heels in this match, and I guess Julian will be the only face.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's the best. I think that's the best way to do triple threats. I think that's the easier way, funner way. It's not easier, funner way to do a triple threat match when you have two heels and one face, because there's so much that you can do. You know,
sure.
Whether it's dominating the baby face 2-on-1, or whether it's you know, whatever the case would be, I just think that triple threat matches have better psychology when there's two heels. I think when there's two baby faces, it's hard because it's not really, you're not going to see two baby faces working, beating the hell out of one guy. You know, you'll see it at the beginning, though, like, in a shine. But, yeah, there's so much you can do. And I think that we're all going to we're going to kill it. I think we're going to have a great match, and I think we're going to steal the show. And,
absolutely.
No, I'm really, really looking forward to that match, and, you know, being the first match of the year, you know, it's going to be awesome. A year ago, UCW's first show of 2017, I fought Julian Young, so, you know, a year later in the ring, Julian Young, Kofi Christ, and myself, Triple Threat, you know, I think it's going to be a great start to the year for sure.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to that match, and I agree, it's kind of, match is going to absolutely steal the show, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's no secret that in addition to being a huge J.P. Sims fan, I'm a huge Kofi Christ fan as well.
Yes.
That guy is immensely talented, and I'm looking forward to the match, and hopefully you can send me a link as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Today. That match will be taped for sure, and, you know, that'll be posted, and I'll make sure you get a link right away, and, yeah, like I said, I'm really looking forward to that match, you know, and that's going to be another big match that, you know, I want to add on to the list of, you know, top matches this year, you know, and I think that
sure. This
one's going to be a great way to lead me into, you know, the other shows coming up, you know, IHW going to Connecticut, match with the Hurricane, like, you know, what better way to start the year than a triple threat with, you know, J.P. Sims, Julian Young, and Kofi Christ for the Maritime Championship.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man, absolutely. And I know we're running on an hour here, and I know you said you had about an hour, but there was one question that I accidentally skipped over, and I just, if you don't mind, I got one more question, and then we can wrap this up.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
I wanted to ask this to you a little earlier. I know there are some, because I was just wanting to get your take on it, because I know at some matches you'll see fans getting involved, or fans throwing a punch at a wrestler, or a fan jumping in the ring and trying to attack a wrestler. What's your advice for fans that decide that they want to get involved in the match and jumping in the ring? Do you think it's fair game once they're in the ring? It's fair game, and wrestlers could do what they want, or what? What's your advice for fans basically that are thinking about jumping in the ring and say going after a J.P. Sims or something like that?
You know, well, they don't want to get in the ring with me, you know, because you know. That's one thing that you don't do if you're a fan. You don't jump that guardrail. You know, you're there. You know, we wouldn't be where we're at, you know, without the fans. And nobody's going to doubt that for a second. But, you know, bottom line is you pay your ticket to watch the show. You cheer, you boo, you know, you go wild. You do whatever you want to do. But you don't step over that guardrail, and you don't get involved in the match. And if you get into the ring or you start hitting the wrestler, you know, you've completely crossed the line. You know, like, we're here to entertain the fans. You know, it's sports entertainment. We're there to deliver good matches for the fans. You know, not be, you know, punched or thrown, you know, or kicked, whatever. You know, like, I mean, I have fans, you know, throwing toilet paper at me. I love that. You know, streamers, like, even that fans at the last show tossing water at me, and that was fun. You know, like, that's fun. Like, that's heat. But you know, as far as actually like trying to assault somebody and punch them, like, no, it's not. Right, and it's all fair game if you try to jump that guardrail and, you know, a wrestler punches you or kicks you right in the face, you know, and fully kicks you in the face or punches you in the face, you know, you get what's coming to you.
You know, I always go back to, you know, one of my Eddie Guerrero and Rob Van Dam from Raw 2002, you know, when that fan got in the ring and tried to tip the ladder over when Eddie Guerrero was on the ladder, and Eddie Guerrero got a shot on Buddy in the head, you know, and it was like, you know, he deserved that. He tried to tip Eddie Guerrero. That could have hurt him, and, you know, for him to try to do that, you know, it's like it's bad enough to jump the guardrail and you know, get thrown out, but, like, to actually try to do something to the wrestlers, you know, that's not cool, man. Like, it's... That's no fun to the wrestling business.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the clip with Triple H and Steve Austin when the fan jumped in and went after Steve Austin. Triple H was supposed to after he took a stunner, I think, and Triple H was supposed to be knocked out, and the fan came in and went after Austin, and Triple H just got up, grabbed him, slammed him to the mat, and just proceeded to beat the living hell out of the fan, and he wouldn't stop punching, and even the ref was like kicking the fan, and security had to come out and pull Triple H off. Even when security had him and was pulling him out, Triple H still ran in and just threw one more punch. So that's again, I agree. Fans thinking about getting in the ring, don't just stay in the seat and watch the show, man.
Exactly, and I've seen that too. Yeah, I've seen that, and like that. Yeah, like that's crazy. Like he tried to get in and, you know, attack Austin from behind. You know, and it's like people don't realize, like, you know, like if, you know, Austin got his back completely turned to him, and if, you know, he'd have hit him or pushed him right over off the ropes, and he'd hit the floor or something, you know, he could have gotten hurt. You know, and you know, that could, and it's not even just the fact that it was like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, even though that was like, you know, that was their top star at the time, but it was like, you know, that's really cool to see that, you know, for that moment, you know, Triple H broke his character and said, you know, hell no, like, this guy's trying to get in the ring, like, what's he trying to do to Austin, and better yet, what's he going to try to do to me or the referee, and, you know, he deserved it. You know, I'm glad Triple H put a pound in on him. That's not something you don't see often. I think there's also a clip online of Nash hitting a fan to get into the ring. I believe it was in WCW, because
I know for a while
fans were getting in. Yeah, and I think he got a pretty good shot in there, and it's like, you're an idiot. Somebody like Kevin Nash.
Nash got in two good shots, lifted him up, and just tossed him to the outside.
Oh, okay, and that would have been around the NWO time, I believe.
Two shots to the head and just tossed him to the outside.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, you get what you deserve, you know, you had no right to get into the ring, and again, like I said, why would you get in the ring with, you know, somebody like Kevin Nash, you know, he's... murder you, like, that's stupid. Like,
the guy's 6'10". You don't want to get in the ring.
Exactly, 330 pounds. You know, like, why would you even try to get in a ring with any match, let alone his match?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, that's about it. I just want to. I was meant to ask that question a little earlier, but I realized
that's okay, man.
I skipped over it. So I know we went over a lot of your matches, but anything you want to plug? I know you got the Facebook and Twitter. I know you plugged them on the last show, but anything you want to plug quickly before we go? You know, feel free, man.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. You know, like as I always said, I always plug my my Instagram, my Twitter. You know, follow JP Sims on Twitter @JPSims_Twitter, and also follow me on Instagram @Sims187. And you know, I have a Facebook fan page as well. I've been posting my 2017 highlight video, which is the one that Kurt Angle's passing into Mark Carano. So you know, that's a match that a video highlight package that I've been promoting around on the internet. So, you know, check that out, and by all means, check it out, share it, watch it, and you know, we're gonna keep this ball rolling. 2018 is gonna be a huge year, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm looking forward to what the year brings, and you know, it's been a pleasure chatting with you as always, man. Can't wait to do that again too.
No, we're gonna 2018. Hopefully we get you on multiple times. It's the third time that you've been on, and you've been on more times than any guest I've ever had, and I don't think that'll ever end. I think I predict in 2018 you'll be on about 5 or 6 times.
I'd hope so, man.
Like I said, man, you what you gotta do is call me up and say I got a few things to say, and you know, I'll get the equipment out, set it up, and if we could agree on the time, and I'll get you on, man. You're always welcome to come on, man.
I appreciate it, man. Like, I love being on the show, like I said, and anytime. Like, I'd love to come back again soon, and I'll definitely get on there before the Hurricane show and after, so we can talk about that, you know, and definitely going to be lots to talk about, and you got to be my manager, you know, 2018. We got to do it. We got to campaign, man.
Hey, did I tell you I interviewed Ricky Morton, Rock and Roll Express?
Yes, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I know.
Huge,
I told
by the
you.
Way.
I know.
Congrats on that, man. That's that. How was that? That must have been.
Oh my God,
that must have been amazing. That Let me
was,
ask you a question. How
that was. That was actually that was last night. That was. I grew up watching Ricky Martin. He's an absolute hero of mine. It was like a dream come true. In the beginning, my heart was beating so fast. I was nervous because it's Ricky Martin, man. But we had told us some good stories and talked about Ric Flair, the feud with Flair, and the feud with the Midnight Express. And it was a little shorter than I expect than I wanted. I had a lot of questions, but that's okay. It was a half hour, but great interview. It's coming up soon. I get a link. I'll send you the link before it actually gets released. But it was a great interview, and just. Probably one of, I would say it's my proudest podcast moment that I've had so far, just interviewing one of my heroes growing up. So it was a great, great time.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. That's huge, you know? Like, even if you only got a half an hour with him, you know, like I said, that's huge to be able to say that you got to interview him. You know, I'm proud of you for that. That's huge. Like, that must have been a great time. And, you know, having half an hour to chat with somebody like Ricky Morton, you know, and talk about his matches with Ric Flair and everything like that. That must have been huge. Like, again, you know, that must have brought you back to, you know, being a young fan again.
Yeah,
I was
marking out, man. I know somebody. I'm not going to say the name, but somebody, you know who it is, kind of called me a blank mark. But I was marking out. I was marking out big time when I was talking. I was a teenager again. I went back to 1985, and when I used to watch them, I was. Cloud Nine, and it's just thinking about it, it's like, did I really speak with Ricky Morton?
Yeah, man.
But it's on tape, and I'll always have it. It was a great moment. But
that's right. That's cool, man. I'm looking forward to listening to it, and yeah you'll have to send me the link, and I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, no, I'll send you the link as soon as I get it. Probably tonight. I'll shoot it over to you. All right. Well, that's it. Well, again, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. And like I said, anytime, man, all you got to do is ask and come on. And thanks for everything, man. It's good knowing you. And 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I hope you're still coming on my podcast, man.
Oh, I will, man. We'll still be friends. And I can't wait to see how far we've got, how far our careers expand in 10 years, and I'll be a regular. I hope to have a podcast show by then, I'll have to get you as a guest on my show eventually.
Right,
so I think that'll be good.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'd love to be on your podcast when you start that up. So that'll be great.
Yes, absolutely. You'll be one of my first guests, man. I wouldn't have it any other way.
All right, man. I appreciate that. All right. So this has been the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin. Once again, I want to thank my guest, my buddy JP Sims, for coming on. Always a pleasure. And until next time, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. And stay safe, everybody. So long.